All right. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good to see everybody. Welcome to Vertical Marriage Ministry. Mike, can you hit that door? Do you mind? Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, before we get started, why don't we pray? Mm-hmm. Father, we come before you, Lord. We're so thankful. God, you created marriage. God, you believe in marriage, Lord. Yeah. And I just pray that in this conference, Lord, in this breakout session, God, that vision will be captured, God, and brought into other churches, God, that can bless their congregation, Lord, and strengthen and encourage marriages. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. How many of you, did you want to say something, honey?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. How many? Yeah.
That's number one.
I'm still learning. How many of you are pastors at a church? Okay, wow, several of you. How many of you are from here, our own church? Okay, cool. So really, the purpose of this is really just to throw out a vision to you guys, what's worked for us. We don't come to you saying this is the way it is and this is how it's happening, this is the way we're doing it at Calvary Tucson, but we have been so humbled to see what God has done in the marriages of our church. Melissa and I were asked several years ago, and it's something that I kind of ran from. You know, I just really wanted to stick on like men's ministry and worship and stuff like that. But God really started stirring up my heart, and I said, "Yeah, you know what? I think I want to do this." And of course, my wife was ecstatic. You know, she's like, "He's finally going to change." But you know what, and we were looking for a foundation to go off of, and somebody I really highly recommend, and if you guys are taking notes, please take notes on this, because some things are going to be thrown out, you're just going to forget. But Jimmy Evans from Marriage Today, you know, he's somebody that I really looked up to. He's somebody as far as foundationally, having a foundation of how to do workshops and breakout sessions and teachings in marriage ministry. It's something that created the foundation. They have Marriage on the Rock, Indestructible Marriage. It shows you, you know, what takes place, how to get everybody signed up, how to find leaders, and how to have the breakout sessions. But then we were challenged a little bit, and I didn't want to copy somebody else's material. I like the foundation of what was happening at Marriage for Today, but I started to get challenged of creating our own seminars. And for instance, you know, after the session, you guys are more than welcome to go through some of our packets of what we've done. We've done The Garden. We've done a series called Grow. We've done many conferences. The Story of Us, which we're going to get into in a little bit. We've done Blended Families. But just to give you guys an overall picture of that, did you want to? Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons we decided to write our own curriculum is because as you're ministering to the body of marriages within these series, you start to notice kind of the needs. And one of the things that the demographic sometimes is either new believers or a large percentage maybe of marriages that are really struggling, that really need that foundation. And sometimes jumping into just another book might not be exactly what your congregation needs. So just being led by the Spirit. So for instance, when we started writing our first curriculum, we started with The Garden because we knew we had to go all the way back to Genesis and talk about what God created marriage to be. Mm-hmm. And so that really created this foundation within mature believers, reminding them about that, reminding them about covenant, reminding them about the promises of God in their marriage, and then creating community around that so everybody's on the same page in regards to those small groups and these classes. And then they can study together. They can lift up each other together. They can minister to one another. So that was really the reason why we created our own curriculum. And it's not hard to do. It seems like a scary thing. But what you can do is kind of take pieces from past studies and obviously the Word of God, and then manage that and then place it on paper. So we do have some samples of that today.
Yeah, just to give you guys a little bit of a testimony, we were so blown away each year. Melissa and I were like, how are we going to do this? How are we going to find leaders, you know, in our church? And it's really, with the size of church that we have here at Calvary, it is so easy to walk in and walk out without ever being touched. And you know, I was actually one of those guys a long time ago. I'd love to come in late, leave early, don't want to really talk to anybody, but that's where I was really missing out. And but we started praying about it. And we were on an Israel trip, and I was like, you know, that couple over there, you know, I've just been watching them, and I just feel led to go talk to them and possibly for them to become leaders. And we were praying about it, and I went up and talked to him, and the guy was like, bro, man, I don't know, maybe you need to pray a little bit more, but this is our third marriage, you know? And I'm like, and? What does that have anything to do with? And they're actually some of our strongest leaders that we actually have on our team. You know, they actually got married with multiple teenagers from different marriages. You know, I think they have 7 or 8 mm-hmm. teenagers. Are you guys in here?
No, they're not
in here right now. But hey, getting married and having 7 or 8 teenagers from different marriages, and they made it through that, and they're strong, walking with the Lord. They're just amazing. But when we look at our leaders, we have such a diverse leadership group. We have marriages that have lost their children. We have had marriages that have come through infidelity. What else? We have other marriages with no drama at all. I mean, they're just healthy and they're doing great. But I think one of the fearful things that guys will tend to have is any type of going to any type of marriage conference. They're scared to death. But we want everybody to feel welcome. When we do our videos, when we do any type of announcements, we want to make sure that this is for the good, the bad, and the ugly in marriages,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think our leadership speaks to that, too. We go back to how we present our leadership. Right up front, we talk about, hey, nobody here on our leadership team, we have about 8 or 9 leadership teams, couples, and we introduce each one of them, and sometimes even give a little bit of a testimony. This couple has come out of an addiction, you know, or have triumphed over pornography issues. You know, this couple has had infidelity. These people have been married since they've been like 18, you know, and it really just going down the line, because what that does is it says, hey, I'm actually in a real place, a mm-hmm. safe place to be able to say, I'm not the only one. And that creates vulnerability within our church, and that creates realness within our church. Instead of just sticking the perfect couple up there talking about the do's and don'ts of marriages, right? Our church is a hospital. And so when we think about marriages, we think about this ministry, marriage ministry, is a hospital to get well, to get stronger for those who aren't struggling, and then, again, for carrying on forward.
Yeah. You know, and we'll give you the structure breakdown as far as, you know, how we roll this out. But, I mean, it's grown to almost 300 people that attend on a 6 or 8 week series that we do. And it is amazing. Do we charge for the event? We do charge for the event. You know, sometimes when you make an investment in something, you tend to stick to it a little bit more. It's cheap, though. You know, we usually do $40 for a couple that have no children. We usually do $60 or $80, you know, if you do happen to have kids. I think it's important. One of the days that we actually select out of it is Fridays. It tends to be just the date night, mm-hmm. you know, and you could commit to those 6 or 8 weeks. With the childcare, where the money goes, you know, we love to have start it like 30 minutes prior and have a little coffee and fellowship time and some food. We like to spend some of the money on that. We also like to sponsor our kids for youth events that can't afford it, you know, so they will watch the kids to raise money for that. But to break down the structure of a typical Friday night, you know, everybody starts mingling and having coffee, and then we have some worship time, just a couple of songs, and then we go into a teaching. and the teaching, and this is going to be hard for some of you pastors, but we really narrow down the teaching to 20 to 25 minutes only. And but part of the series, going back, when I'm creating a series, I'm creating the message, but I'm also creating what we call talk it out questions and walk it out questions. The talk it out questions is within the groups, okay? I highly recommend, don't have a group of more than 12 to 14, or actually 6 to 8 couples in each group, or else it could get chaotic, especially when everybody's going around sharing, doing Q&A. With the groups too, as far as how do we delegate the groups? So when they're coming in, signing up, what do we typically do?
So we typically have about 9 to 10 couple leaders, and they're all spread out throughout the sanctuary. Each of those couples will be leadership, a leadership couple. They're the ones who are going to be monitoring the conversation, leading the groups, praying with the groups, again, keeping attendance of all their couples. And what was the question?
Well, just typically, do we have a young couple that come in, and so we want to hook them up with another couple, you know, that's young leaders. I kind of disagree with that, doing it that way. I like really the Holy Spirit just to lead and select the number. So sometimes we'll have a number from
1 to 9,
and whatever your number is, you're going to be going into that group. And what tends to happen on the next time we do the series, everybody really likes the group and they like the leaders and they want to stick with that group. But we're like, no, we want you guys to grow. Now it's time to go into another group. So that's how we do it on that. But with the talk it out questions, the questions are simple. The first night we really try to make it light and fun. And sometimes it does get a little bit heavy, but I always, 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 no matter what series that we're doing, it's typically about, you know, your relationship with Christ. Because out of all the counseling that Melissa and I have done and we do, it always tends to be a lordship issue. You know, well, he's doing this, well, she's doing that, and it always goes back to a lordship issue. And we always, always offer a salvation message in every single one of them. And what we are so blown away by, there could be couples that are fighting in a neighborhood, and all of a sudden, like, well, hey, if you guys want to go to this marriage thing, you know, it's strengthening a lot of marriages right now. We have people actually coming that have never even attended this church getting saved.
Oh, mm-hmm. It's been really interesting, you guys. We did not set out this format to think, oh, this is going to be an outreach. It has organically become an outreach. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons we think why, we have a lot of people from the fire department who are coming, is because it's less intimidating to go to a 6-week marriage class than to head off to a professional counselor. And we're seeing people getting saved. And it's pretty amazing. And this is a really great way to have a community outreach, is offering a marriage class in your church. It's great, because what happens within your marriage? You have strong marriages, you have a strong church, you have a strong kids ministry, then you have a strong community. Everything trickles down from the marriage, because that's the way God created it, as a family. A healthy, functioning marriage creates a healthy, functioning family, church, therefore community. So it has been pretty amazing watching it happen.
Yeah.
Watching God do it, really.
Yeah, you know, going back to the talk it out and walk it out questions in the group leader leads it. It's important for that group leader not to suck up all the time talking himself. It's really important for him to delegate going around the room. You know, like, for instance, one of the questions on Talk It Out, how did you guys meet? Why did you guys fall in love? You know, out of the 5 love languages, and I'm sure a lot of us know that, you know, what is your spouse's love language? And just give everybody a 3 to 4 minute time to talk so everybody gets to share. And here's one of the things that might be kind of hard for some of you, and it's being transparent without showing every single color, you know? We've gone through it in our marriage. We've gone through a lot of stuff. You know, we are a blended family, but Christ is, you know, center in our marriage, and we work out the kinks. He helps us, and we're still here, and we're in front of you right now. And but we take the mask off, and we share, and we get a little vulnerable. And before you know it, because you as a leader are not wearing a facade, they'll take their mask off too. Mm-hmm. And then you'll begin to see healed marriages. You know, especially for pastors, it's really hard. It's like, who do we talk to? Where can I go? You know, that counselor knows this counselor, and you know, it goes around. So, you know, just take the mask off, throw the mask off, and God, there are healthy marriages because of healed marriages. Mm-hmm. So the talk it out questions, pretty light. You know, the first Friday night. Then they have what's called walk it out questions, where the questions are geared to prick at you just a little bit. You know, the guy, and the questions are 7 to 10 questions, that's it. But they're simple but heavy questions. Do you pray with your spouse? Do you have a prayer life yourself, for instance? When's the last time you actually spent time with the Lord? When's the last time you read the Word of God? How do you think it makes your wife feel when you grab her hand and pray with her? Is there any questions that you could think of off the top of your head?
I think one of the points about us talking about what type of questions we're using is the last thing we want for the couple to feel is intimidated by the homework.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why we created our own curriculum. And yeah. I really encourage you guys to do so. It seems scary, but it's not. We have all the tools. You can email us, and we can mm-hmm. tell you exactly what programs we use. Very easy. But we don't want them to feel intimidated. We want them to go to the Word of God. We want them to pray together. We want them to start those first things mm-hmm. and then eventually end up studying the Word of God together. Does that make sense?
And when they come back the following week, you know, we ask them, how did your walk it out homework go? How did the questions go? Mm-hmm. And for sometimes it was a little rough. Mm-hmm. It was challenging. It was challenging to grab her hand and pray with her. Mm-hmm. It really was. But you'll see growth in this, and by the time you're done with your 7th or 8th week sessions, they won't want to leave. They want to stay.
We've seen that every time.
Every single time.
The fruit of that, really quickly, the fruit of what we're seeing after every single marriage study is these groups start getting together. And again, organically and naturally, you have home groups bursting out of these little groups.
Yeah.
These leadership groups. It's been amazing to see.
Yeah. Another thing out of that, I challenge every single leader, group leaders, is to... I really want you to look for and spot future potential leaders in your group. And how we've organically grown is by starting with a small group. And then it's like, hey, you know what? Can you guys, will you pray about being leaders? Will you pray about being leaders? And before you know it, I think within the first year, we had 12 couples as leaders. And that's even grown since then. Mm-hmm. There's even times that it's gotten so large, we might need 20 leaders. Mm-hmm. And so we're able to double up on groups just to strengthen. Mm-hmm. That's been amazing.
You'll see the fruit in your church. You'll see them even going to a regular service and the couples now sitting together and hanging out together. It really has created and cultivated community.
11 home group fellowships have came out of it.
Right.
On a consistent basis.
Yeah.
We sit back and we're pretty blown away. We usually do conferences somewhere around Valentine's. You know, we have like a weekend conference, and so
another one in October.
In October, we do, and then we usually do a 6 to 8 week series in the spring, and then
in the fall
we do another 6 to 8 week series. Because it's a lot. It's a lot to have all your group leaders there every single Friday night for 8 weeks, but it's definitely worth it. And I believe the pastor starts noticing too. Mm-hmm. Wow, man, it seems like this church is just getting healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's talking to each other. Everybody's showing up a little bit earlier for worship. So the change that we've seen. And another thing, while it's on my mind, is we used to have the women's ministry on this night, and then later in the week we had the men's ministry on a different night. What we've liked to do is we now have the women's and men's ministry the same night. Once their series is over, you know, because, or else it's like church is Saturday night, Sunday, mm-hmm. Monday, Tuesday, and you never have a home life. Mm-hmm. So I think that's really important mm-hmm. as well.
I wanted to talk really, or we wanted to talk really quickly on, don't forget to talk about the hard stuff. Yeah. You know, I think Pastor Bo is in here, and he really helped us get some good resources in regards to some real issues in marriage, and that is pornography. And you'll get some pushback, but you do have to talk about those kinds of things, and you have to be able to have the tools for healing. So one of the things that we've done is we reached out to Calvary Fellowship and reach out to other churches to see what kind of resources they have, so that you do have vetted counselors in place, so that you do have vetted resources in place for some hard issues that are not necessarily being taken care of right in that class. But we have seen amazing things happen and healing restored in those areas. We don't usually talk about that the first night. it's usually session 4 or 5. You know, and that's when you'll start. You will naturally get hit with a lot of phone calls, a lot of emails right after that session. Prepare your leaders for that. Make sure that you're understanding what grace looks like when people are starting to open up, so that they don't feel shamed, that they realize that this is a place for healing.
Yeah, we fight for every single marriage. Mm-hmm. We believe that if you do it God's way, you have 100% chance mm-hmm. of succeeding in marriage. Mm-hmm. However, we don't condone abuse mm-mm. by any means. Do we want to see the marriage healed and restored? Yeah, we do. Mm-hmm. We do. A couple that is dealing with infidelity. Once again, it's not the unpardonable sin. God still can heal and restore that marriage, you know, but we do believe that there might be a time of separation. There's a time for healing, and we counsel as much as we can, but if it escalates, we do have professional counselors that will step in at that time. You want to go into a little bit of our series before we open it up with Q&A? Or I could just briefly touch on it. You know, when I was praying about it, I was like, where did marriage start? It started in the garden, you know? And, you know, going back to the garden, it wasn't just Adam and Eve. It was God, Adam. You know, then when you think about taking care of a garden, you got to water it. You got to break up the fallow ground. You got to put seeds in there. You got to prune it. You got to protect it. Mm-hmm. You know, so coming up with a certain scripture passage, I know a lot of times we go verse by verse, line by line, but a lot of the messages that we do, you know, is topical. However, when we do some of the homework, it's more verse by verse, so they really get the understanding of the chapter. Another series that we did, you have to realize that 75% of marriages today are blended families. They are. It's important that we touch that. And every single blended family marriage has different dynamics. Tons of different dynamics. You know, this marriage might be good with the ex-husband. This marriage doesn't do that good. And you never know what the dynamics are with the kids in that situation. But we had Rick and Dawn, you know, the Israel couple that I was telling you about, do that series for a weekend conference on blended families. And it was just amazing. They opened it up to Q&A and how it really strengthened and helped other marriages out there. Because what happens a lot of times is within our church, because you've had a divorce in your marriage, you feel like second-class citizens. And we want to let everybody know that comes to our marriage conferences that they are not second-class citizens. Jesus does not look at them like that. And they still can be restored and used by God again. Another one that we did was the story of us. Like I said, you know, you want to really know who your leaders are. Here's your leaders, and they're going to speak the conference.
And it was just really testimonial.
It was a testimonial base. And by the time you're done listening to their testimonies, you know, you have this young couple that the honeymoon's over and they're just spatting away and they think they have a problem in marriage, and they hear that this couple over here just lost their kid, an adult son, that, and they survived it. It's like they survived that and we're fighting about this. You know, it brings hope. There's other marriages. Hey, you know what? We started with Christ in the beginning. We are continuing to be strong. We've been married over 20 years. We've raised our children up in Christ. Our marriage is awesome. You know, they really, I have very few couples that have never had any major issues, but we have those too. And then we have a couple that both of their exes committed suicide, you know, and lost both of their kids. You know, so the testimonies and the miracles that you hear out of this is just so, so amazing. Mm-hmm. So amazing. We've been working like crazy. And she's like, just do Sacred Marriage. You know, just get the book and do Sacred Marriage, or do Timothy Keller.
Sometimes
you know, the
you
meaning
need a
of
break.
The meaning of marriage. And I just, that would have been so easy to do. But I was like, God, I really don't want to. I want to be challenged personally. And so I was Googling it. I'm like, you know, what's some of new, fresh ideas? And I was praying a couple weeks ago, and I was like, God, what is going to be our next series? You know, and this time I didn't do 6 weeks because it's too short, and I didn't do 8 weeks because sometimes it just feels too long. And so I did 7 weeks. We chose 7 weeks, and I was like, God, just please give me something today, because if you don't give me something today, I'm just going to go with Sacred Marriage probably, or Timothy Keller. And I was like, seven. And then it just hit me. You know, the seven churches, the groom, the bride. Right? A revelation of marriage. And yeah, I get choked up about it because it just... starting to burn. But you know, just even the first church, you know, you lost your first love. And what happens to so many marriages? The honeymoon's over, right? After a couple years. And what does Jesus say? Go back to do the things that you did at first. Mm-hmm. Open up her car door. Mm-hmm. Bring her some flowers. You know, and then you go with the rest of the churches. It talks about suffering. Mm-hmm. Talks about idolatry. Talks about suffering and enduring, mm-hmm. and lukewarm, being hot or cold. So, yeah, see what I mean? You pray and ask God, and he's going to give it to you. Mm-hmm. The Bible is so rich. So rich. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to doing that series. I got to say this too. As far as the homework goes, when I come up with these ideas and I come up with all the messages and the themes and titles and stuff, I get our first night down, and then I ship it off to her. And then she has a team of editors with the Q&A, with the talk it out and the walk it out and the scriptures.
And this is one of the tools and tips. As you're starting, yes, things will be overwhelming, but don't be afraid, because I'm a control freak. Don't be afraid to delegate, to get a team of people around you. I have a team of editors around us. He gives us the message. We create the curriculum. I come up with the graphics. And then we have a few people adding to it. Your team feels like they are also involved. Your team is also in this fight for marriage with you. Yeah. So why not let them put in their two cents, give some ideas. And it is so rich because it's really an entire body running this ministry with you. So I'm kind of, the way we've worked, and you'll see this in your own marriage if you decide to go forward with the marriage ministry, is God will place you in different roles. I'm kind of the administration part. I go with his vision. I create. I create an atmosphere. I really feel like creating an atmosphere is really important for these couples. Why? They feel like they're welcomed. They feel like this is a place that has been thought through, that we're not just, here's a book, let's talk this over. Mm. It's about, we care about you. And so everything speaks, from the graphics to the music to the food. Everything speaks to one another. It doesn't have to be super fancy. But what it does is it says, we care about you this much that we're doing quality. This is a quality thought out process. We're not just shooting from the hip. And I think that really, when everything speaks to one another, it also speaks to the heart. Does that make sense? So.
Yeah, you know, some nights we'll share teaching. It's marriage ministry. She gets to teach with me on stage. It's cool, you know. Sometimes I'll just give her the whole floor, you know, or we'll share it. Or sometimes I just do it myself, you know. A lot of times she likes to mingle with the girls and set up all the food and stuff, and we don't drive together anyway, you know, because the marriage that doesn't drive together stays together.
Yes. So true. Especially on your way to marriage ministry night. Don't drive together. Tip number
Dash one. Dash Johnny Code. Quote. Yeah. Not always true. Not always true. But hey, you know, before we open it up for any Q&A, do you want to say anything else?
Yeah, no, I think we've covered a lot of it. I know it's a lot. You could always reach us at melissa@calvarytucson.com or johnny@calvarytucson.com if you have any questions. I know this is just kind of a flyover of what marriage ministry looks like, but we don't have any problem telling you exactly what we do to keep in touch with our marriage ministry. We also keep everybody on a list, so I think that's really important, keeping every single couple on a MailChimp list, which is free, and always shooting out reminders once a week. Because, they feel like they're not missed, especially in a large church like ours. You could be like, well, they'll never know we're gone. But when somebody touches you, that's a part of the church. We are to touch one another. We are to create relationship with one another. And so that is really one of our core, something that's really important to us. So,
yeah, before I open up for Q&A, I know we have some of our leaders in here. Is there anything on your heart you want to share real quick? No? Yes? No?
Maybe? Rocky, Stacy?
No?
They were here from the beginning, so they have...
Well, don't put them on the spot. Do you guys want... No?
I would probably say this. It's as, like, breakout leaders, super crucial to kind of make that connection. And during the week, for me, I would get all the wives' contact information and their phone numbers and just, you know, send out little... scriptures or how are you doing? Is there anything that I can pray for you from your perspective? Or can't wait to see you guys on Friday, and just knowing that you really care and you want them, and kind of developing that relationship. And that I think that also kind of helps them develop be more vulnerable as well.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
I think when it comes time to selecting some of your leaders, reach out to Johnny and Melissa, based on our situation. Whenever I was asked, hey, do you want to lead a group? I was like, you're crazy. as far as not feeling qualified, but knowing that God qualifies the call, it's one of those situations where there's an opportunity to touch somebody and you can grow your ministry through that.
Yeah, I would concur with what Rocky's saying. It's amazing what it did for our marriage.
Can I just say who you are real quick? Is Rick with you?
No, he poked in. There's too many people in here.
This is the couple that we were talking about that we met in Israel.
Mm-hmm. And my husband was a total introvert. You know, he doesn't tell or share anything with anybody. And this ministry has really opened him up. And he is sharing things that just drops my jaw on a daily basis. And it's good for him. Because he's at a place where he can come alongside other men who we all struggle. I mean, marriage is not easy. And so as much as it builds up our marriage, it also gives us even more challenges because it's the enemy. The enemy is going to attack when we're trying to come alongside marriages and lift them up, and we're seeing such great things. And then the next thing you know, him and I are in the middle of it. But we learn a lot of ways to talk to each other and to share with each other, and the intimacy that it brings to your marriage, it truly is incredible. It's very centering.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All through God.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? What's really nice about this, even my favorite part of doing this whole thing is being in the groups. It's not coming up with the messages. It's not teaching. It's being with each people face-to-face on a weekly basis and really getting to know each other. Friendships that last forever out of it, you know. And hey, we're like Melissa said in the beginning, we're a hospital. We're a church. And it shouldn't, let it never be said of us that I'm too scared to talk to anybody there. It should be the safest place that we talk to. You know, here's one more thing before I open it up, and I keep saying this. We are going to open it up for Q&A, but we lay down some ground rules in the beginning. There's no gossiping outside of your group. Whatever's said within your group, unless if it's, you know, illegal, whatever's said in your group stays within your group. There's no wife bashing and there's no husband bashing when we're sharing what's going on in our marriage. We could do it tastefully. Other rule, ground rules that we have? That's pretty much it. So I really hope we've casted off some type of vision. You know, if you ever need us to come out or something like that, and we could try to help you, you know, get the structure. But I will go back to Jimmy Evans' Marriage for Today. It was really hard for me to receive from any man. I could receive from the guy because he was just really transparent. And he was real with what took place in his marriage. And, you know, the night he told his wife to get out of the house, I want a divorce, and he went in the living room and just said, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to be a husband. Teach me how to be a husband. And God rocked his world. But let's open it up for Q&A. Who has some questions?
Ready?
Has there been any offshoot going into pre-marriage counseling from this?
Say it one more time.
Anything come out of this going into pre-marriage counseling?
Yes, we do have
a premarital class.
Yeah, Pastor Jim Farley here at our church, we do have a premarital class.
We really do try to keep people who are not married out of the class, and then people who are pre-married or engaged in the pre-marriage class. And that's all foundational. But the marriage class is only for people who are married, because then we're not ministering to the, you know, the same audience.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Any other questions?
So participating in, I think we've all been in those groups where it ends up being like derailed or sometimes like taken over by the same couple or that bashing. So participating in some of those groups where there's no edification and you just leave frustrated, participating under your guys' groups, I know you mentioned like the no gossiping and no bashing, but I think it really is critical to training, however you're training your leaders. What are some practical things? Because I think it really is foundational to set up that atmosphere where it's edifying. And, like, I think even one of the rules, Dawn, isn't one of them, like, you guys say, you know, where there's, like, a line where you can step in and say, you know what, like, let's talk about that after.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Somebody that's taking over the conversation in a group, you know, sucking all the time. I get it. And... You know, we do a little role play with the leaders. We've had those couples. You know, it's like going to a traffic safety school class, the one that always raises their hand. But lay down the ground rules in the beginning. Hey, everybody gets 2 minutes to talk in the group here because we're just going to go around. Or I'll just kindly say, you know, that's great, Lisa, but we're going to let's move on to the next question. You could do it gracefully and nice, you know, and I'll talk to you about that afterwards. You know, let's meet afterwards and we'll talk about it. But yeah, you can't just have a passive leader either, you know, that just lays down and lets.
I've done that really well. And so thank you. Setting your leaders up for success, mm-hmm. within that role playing and setting how you handle it, mm-hmm. because that's that was probably the most refreshing thing coming in, and especially for my husband, like, oh, this was so refreshing to not have that experience, but actually have intimacy without derailment and vulnerability without.
Yeah, let me just talk about that really quick. If you are going to start a marriage group, have a marriage leaders meeting and really just get together with your leaders, cast the vision, talk about how to run a group, you know, talk about all the questions that they have so that you're all on the same page. Because sometimes you'll get people who stand up and run out to the parking lot and fight. It's happened. Okay, yeah. So you'll have all sorts of different scenarios. Have plans set in place. And if you need a copy of our plans, we can send that to you too. But you're already leading your leaders are already prepared. And then one thing we always tell our leaders is minister out of your own marriage. Minister out of your own marriage. Yeah.
You guys do a really good job too, because they're in charge of it. They touch base with the leaders. They try to, if they're not able to that night, the next day. And they also know that it's open door policy. So anything that goes on in our meetings, it's important that whoever's in charge is aware of those things too. Because what happens is if they're not aware of it, and then they get emails or messages or complaints or other things coming from other directions, they're not, it's not proactive. Mm-hmm. So to be proactive, the communication needs to be going both ways, and they do a really good job. Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions?
You guys are a pretty good-sized church. How would you scale this down to a smaller church where you can't be rotating leaders every week and you have limited resources?
How do you scale this down to a smaller church?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell me the size, the number?
Actually, we're a pretty good sized church, but I was.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Got it.
A good example. We're like 50.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, you know what?
5 years.
You know what? Start with what you have.
Yeah.
Start with what you have, and I recommend just don't delegate it to another leader just to take it on. Do it yourself. You know, if you really feel called to do that, and let God do the multiplication. Trust God to do the multiplication. Reach out to your community. Ask God to open up your eyes and ears wherever you're at, on the street, in a coffee shop, or, you know, God, who can you lead me to minister to somebody in their marriage is hurting? And you'll sit back and you'll be blown away what mm-hmm. God can do. We never worried about numbers. We never thought about numbers. But we just watched God just do the increase, and it just...
We actually put flyers out in coffee shops. So we did do that.
I mean,
so that's a good idea.
Social media, you know, Facebook, Instagram, any type of social media that we can. But I think what's really happened is word of mouth.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the things that you guys said that was so encouraging to us, we have had, you know, we've been in the church for, like I said, almost 30 years, our own small body. And we have a marriage thing every few years, and, you know, mm-hmm. a younger couple that does it. Well, there are those of us who've been married 40 years that mm-hmm. it's still a little unlucky sometimes, you know. But the fact that you guys have a schedule where you do an event and have a class, mm-hmm. so it's kind of ongoing mm-hmm. all year long. So if it doesn't work for some,
and that's... Here's one thing. We set it up, and we've told our leaders, and everybody expects it to happen now. us guys, we like to just... I don't want to speak for every guy. We just want to talk about it. We just want, you know, everything's been cool for a while. Everything's kind of tucked away under the rug, you know. What's funny is a lot of couples come in and they act like they have no issues or no problems.
And then they lift
until like the third week, and all of a sudden it's like, oh man, you know. So, you know what? Do you want a healthy marriage? Touch your people, because let's face it, we walk into church, most of us wearing a mask. How you doing? Great. How are you? Blessed. Good. You know, it's going to get, your church is going to be as vibrant as you want it to be, as far as everything trickles out of marriage. The kids ministry. Here's another testimony. The principal of the school comes up and says, I just want to compliment you guys. Like, I don't know what you guys are doing, but... The kids are saying my parents are praying. You know? It's awesome. It's awesome.
Yes.
Well, I'm so sorry, everybody, for my accent.
Welcome home!
You guys put some different groups accordingly to the experience of marriage, because you cannot mix with somebody after 25 years and someone of 5 years in not the same group, because we still have a different trouble and different problems for the marriage.
Yeah.
My experience for marriage, the way I'm going with, is different. Different with somebody who has 5 years. Mm-hmm. Do you also, because you say about the group, mm-hmm. the groups,
Mm-hmm.
Do you put the groups, different groups of different experience, or do you mix it together?
Mix together. Yeah, the question is, you know, do we put the older couples with the older couples and the younger couples with the... No, we don't. Once again, going back to what I said in the beginning, is that we number everybody. So if we have 12 leaders, we number everybody 1 through 12. So when everybody's going through the registration, you're number one. This couple's number one, this couple's number two, this couple's number three. Here's your leaders, 1 through 12. Go meet your leaders. We let God work out the rest, whatever's in that mm-hmm. happening within that group.
Why we do that is you'll find that the older couples are ministering to the younger couples.
Yeah.
And the yeah. younger couples are sometimes ministering to the older couples.
Yeah.
And once in a while you'll get, oh, I don't want to be in this group, and that's fine. We give grace. We're not like, no, you stay and you sit down and you shut up. No. It's okay, we'll take you here and we'll put you with that. And we do allow for grace.
Yeah.
And we do allow for movement within the
yeah.
within the groups.
How many people take it more than once?
Oh, so many people take it more than once. We're seeing so many new faces. And it keeps, and I think that's where the numbers are really steady, yeah. as they keep growing and you have the same people, because it's now become a little community, a little yeah. marriage church almost.
I would say it's probably 80% retention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah.
About 80%.
Yeah, here's one thing I do look up as one of the leaders. I look at my other leaders' groups on a weekly basis, and I want to see if any groups are declining on a consistent basis. And if they are, I want to find out why. Maybe I need to double up that leader with another leader that's a little stronger, you know. Are they taking up all the time talking? I don't know. Are they not touching their people throughout the week? It's important. Other questions?
Yeah, we do marriage conferences, and when it comes to intimacy, she takes the women, I take the guys.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you do it in a...
We talk about it right there. I mean,
we have
discussed doing that occasionally, but we usually take care of that on men's ministry. But I think it's important for both parties to hear sometimes what his needs are and what her needs are. And we actually talk about that topic, his needs, her needs, without it being, you know, distasteful. Mm-hmm. I could elaborate more on that if you want me to.
that's prayerfully prepping for yeah. that particular teaching when we both teach up on stage together. So we are very prayerful about those sessions. But it's worked out for the most part. And not that we have thought about definitely breaking up into men and women and trying that out. We just haven't tried it out yet, but we do want to try it out.
Yeah. yeah. But I mean, as far as the typical topics in marriage, communication, sex, you know, his needs, her needs, date night, listening skills, you know, body language, tone, we touch on every single aspect. Doesn't matter what new series that we do, new fresh series, we always talk about. As far as finances go, we don't dig into that one too much. We have Dave Ramsey classes. You know, go to Dave Ramsey class. But we have thought about separating the guys and girls so we could actually really get deep with the guys and talk about some serious stuff. You know,
there are things that the guys...
Mm-hmm.
No, but don't do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I, sometimes getting to the nitty gritty for us is more comfortable to break up. And
yeah, we'll try that.
Instead of exposing everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You say if you want to go into more depth, well, we can do that. But.
Yeah. 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 And I think the women too. I think the women sometimes could be more comfortable mm-hmm. as well.
That's so important for the women and the men in groups individually, if you do it that way, that nothing goes outside this room.
Right. Mm-hmm. We reiterate that.
That doesn't always happen, though, either.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think if I may speak, my husband and I, we've done marriage ministry with Melissa and Johnny for a while. Like, we love it, but we also do youth ministry. And over this past, 2 years, we were talking about how a lot of our youth kids, you know, we try and break them up to have the sex talk, you know, like boys and girls, like that kind of thing. And we were talking to some of our kids one time, and we were like, our jaws fell to the floor with what they were watching, what they were intaking. And we've looked at the statistics of, you know, like 80% of guys in high school are looking at pornography daily, 60% of girls are looking at pornography daily, and we're just like, what's the difference? We're all the same in the Lord's eyes. And so we talked to them together, because my husband, he struggled with pornography for a long time. And for him, a huge thing was this, like, mystery of, like, what are the girls talking about? Like, what are they doing? What, there was all these things that were just so separate. And then when we became married, he was like, it's not a secret. You know what I mean? Like, sex and marriage is not a secret. It should be a celebrated thing, especially in our culture now, where sex is just this, like, everybody does whatever they want. You know, Tinder, you know, date, you know, hookups with whoever. Like, you can just look on your phone and find somebody to go have sex with.
Friends with benefits.
Yeah, friends with benefits, like, all that stuff. And so, for us, we found that it is so powerful to talk to husband and wife together, because they need to talk together. And if they're being talked to separately, they tend to stay separate, especially if it's a hurting issue. We've seen that when we talk to couples together about sex, there's a lot of healing that's happening there, because they're able to be honest and they're able to kind of work through it, because, you know, a lot of those issues, they come from hurt, but they're very basic. You know, all of our, you know, needs come back to Jesus. You know, he is the center of our sexuality. And so all of that stuff, if you just base it on Christ, like, you're not going to get weird stuff, but you're going to be able to talk about the important stuff without having, like, a crisscross of things that you don't want to
have. Yeah, so, and a lot of times, you know, I don't like to focus on the problem area so much as I do like to focus on what we should be doing and go back to the basics, you know. Yeah, but all she wants to do is talk. She just wants to talk all night, you know. So what? It's your job to listen to her. All she wants to do is have, you know, sex, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. So what? Even if you don't feel like it. Because I don't always feel like listening, but sometimes I need to listen. You know what? And if we really have marriages as a servant heart, it will heal a lot of the problems. You know, marriages don't start with pornography. Marriage problems start with neglect. Go back to do the things that you did first. And you know, I even tell couples too, well, we're just not passionate anymore. We just don't feel in love, you know. Feelings are like a sailboat, it goes where the wind goes, and faith is like a steamboat, it goes where the captain says for it to go. You know, well, we're just not compatible. Well, nowhere in the Bible does it say that we're supposed to be compatible. It says we're supposed to love one another. You know, so you can get that passion back in 1 weekend. We had a falling out. We just took a trip to Sedona and got it back in 2 days. You know? We did. And that's what we do. And every now and then, man, we need a vision retreat. I think Rick and Don was talking earlier, you know, they went to go have a visionary retreat, and everybody needs to have something like that throughout the year, at least a couple of times throughout the year.
You'll find that your couples tend to kind of band together. We really pushed called dating your spouse. And so we challenged them to date their spouse and post it on our vertical marriage Facebook page. And what naturally happens is they all start posting cute little pictures, and you really have this community fighting for marriage, making marriage fun. So being creative in that way, I mean, it created some hype, and it's fun, you know, creating that fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
So
use your strengths with one another. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe your wife is scared to death to talk in front of everybody. That's okay. You know, she might have an administrative strength that could come alongside you and help you in so many ways. I know there's a lot of pastors that like to hoard over every single teaching sometimes, but I like to look at my leaders and be like, you know, you ready? You ready? All right. I'm praying. Just be ready. Mm-hmm. You know, you're teaching this Friday. You know, okay. You know, okay. And I like to raise up our leaders. You know, I don't like just to have the spotlight all the time. You know, we like to share it. But use the strengths of one another. Maybe you're not good coming up with a curriculum, but pray and ask God and use somebody else's curriculum, Bible-based, of course, and you'll see God bless it. You know, with Melissa, you know, I paint the picture and I paint the vision, and like, do you get? You know, she's able to see it and capture it and make it cooler than what I thought it was going to be. She makes it now, like this is current. You know, the videos, and I just want to do like a Greg Laurie video where I'm walking and talking, and she's like, nah, you know, listen. And I just want to make it simple so they get it. But that is important. That is important. Make the videos simple.
Yeah, and go onto our vertical marriage page, and you can see all our sample videos, our blended family sample videos. Really creating a capture and a draw is important. It's important.
Yeah, and I know there's another vertical marriage ministry that just wrote a book. So, yeah, there's different ones out there. But
any other?
How do you guys, or have you, like, come across people that are going through a divorce, or, you know, say one spouse is wanting a divorce, the other one's not wanting a divorce, or they're already gone through the divorce and one is still, you know, there hoping and praying? Because that's what I'm going through. It's past the divorce, and God's called me to stand. And that's kind of something that's hard to find, you know, people to come alongside you to help you.
What's your name? What's your name?
Josh.
You're awesome, man. Yeah. Hey. Good. Hey, that's awesome. And just, you know, yeah, we have. We've had, not only in that situation, but we've also had situations where a couple's in the military, but one person wants to stand in for the other person, and they'll share the homework over the phone, or if they can. But there's been many situations to where we're separated right now, but I'm standing in. And we've seen it go both ways. We've seen it where God has completely restored that marriage, and we've also seen it to where that partner went ahead with that person that they've been hooking up with and continuing on in that relationship. We've seen both, but we've also seen God bless that spouse that's decided to stand. And we've also seen people go through the whole divorce and take off with different spouses and wind up getting back together and married again. So we've seen it all. But you know what? God's going to reward your faithfulness. Any other questions?
Two more minutes.
It's got to be a couple more. Come on. No? Is that it? Okay. Don't be scared.
This is like, I guess, your opinion on it, or just sharing it, and then you can, if you got feedback, you can give me feedback. Dealing with a couple, both are in the church. He has, the husband has decided to move on. The wife is still committed to Scripture, to God, believing by faith. They birthed a child, so there's a child, young child involved. And she just don't know what to do. Matter of fact, when I leave here, I'm calling her. Just to encourage her. She just believed God. She's believing God. And I know even in the midst of believing God, and like I say, I've had them too, to believe, and God brought them back together. Well, I haven't seen, and I'm like, you know what? I would walk away. But God can do anything but fail. And I've seen it come. But this young lady is, she sold out. She loves the Lord. And she just cannot accept the husband saying that he is gone. Where do you go in a situation?
I'm not gonna get in the way if that's what God is telling her to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If she's being obedient to God and she has that faith and determination, who am I? Who am I to get in the way of that? You know? If he's completely abandoned her, I mean, what does the Bible say about that? You know? If she's serving the Lord and he is not a believer and he winds up leaving her and abandons her, you know, and divorces her, she's free.
But she has to accept.
Yeah. And I think naturally, really quick, you have some really vulnerable people who it's going to take some time for them to navigate, sometimes months, sometimes years, to navigate through this brokenness from this broken heart. Our job is just to stand together with them in prayer. not to necessarily give them, you should do this, you should do that. Sometimes it's just, let's go to the Word, yeah. let's pray. Yeah. And that's kind of, I will naturally get a lot more counseling sessions because the wives will typically come to the wife first. So I typically yeah. get a lot. I have a team now around me so that I'm not taking it all on myself, but really yeah. Training the women around me to minister to other women. So I really try to take on the wives, and then we'll do couples counselings. But yeah. I don't ever counsel a man. So,
you know, and seeing a few couples go through this, you know, she might be going through a Hosea season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Someone else had a question. No, we're done.
Can I order your books?
We're probably going to have that out by next year. Unfortunately, it's just been pulled in a lot of different directions.
But I can get you a copy.
But yeah, we'll give you a copy and print it out. Yeah, for sure.
So when ministering to, I think a younger audience has less biblical literacy and a different mm-hmm. worldview coming in. How do you manage the worldview of a younger audience who sees the world differently, just because a lot of them weren't raised in church? Do you find that those couples self-select out or don't come? Or do they integrate well?
They integrate well. You know, the thing is with the graphics and all that kind of stuff, we make it cool, hip. But as far as when it comes to the Word of God, man, the Word of God's powerful. It's quick and powerful. You know what I mean? It goes out and it's still alive and it works. We don't waver to the left or to the right when it comes to the Word of God. But as far as making the presentation and the warmth and everything, it's we had no issues with that. Yeah. But here's one thing though. I think a lot of times we as churches are too scared to talk about real issues, and I think we need to get over that, and I think we need to go there, not waver with the Word of God, but be real and be transparent. Take our mask off. One more.
Right. Okay, so did you deal with children in the marriage issues, or you just focus on the marriage itself, husband and wife?
Do we talk about
parenting?
Parenting?
No.
Not so much. We deal with that with blended families, you know, when we do a conference or something, but no. Okay.
I teach at the Bible College in Marietta. I teach biblical counseling. Mm-hmm. And the key issue is we've got to stop calling our church, mm-hmm. and call it Shiz, Spiritual Hospital Zone.
Yes.
And I'm so glad you said that. Mm-hmm. And resolving the issue that always has to be brought out to people is Romans 8:28 is real. Mm-hmm. God uses everything to bring about His good and His will,
yeah.
including people. I just got done with a couple that he does not want the divorce, mm-hmm. but he learned that he was not meeting his wife's needs through 6 years of marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so she then chose to do something completely mm-hmm. outside of God's mm-hmm. will and claimed it to be God's will.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to stand strong like the gentleman in the back and live for Jesus mm-hmm. and realize that that's a season. The Romans 8:28 is still going to come into play.
I love it.
So good.
So good.
And we've got to realize that I love that saying yesterday. I'm just a zero working for the hero.
Yeah.
I'm just one beggar giving bread to another.
Yes.
There is no perfect marriage. There's no perfect pastors.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's no PPP people, perfect pew people.
Yeah.
They don't exist.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I love the transparency.
Yes.
And when I was teaching the college, and your comment, when I did my survey of 60, this is at the Bible College, surveyed, how many of you do pornography? 95%. At the college, how many mm-hmm. girls are doing pornography? 95%. It's all over.
Yeah.
We live in a sinful world, and marriage is the number one target mm-hmm. of Satan. Because if he destroys marriage, he destroys churches, family, society.
100%.
And we've got to fight for every single marriage, like you said.
Yep. That's absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Satan attacks at the point of unity.
Yeah.
Yep. Father, we just thank you, God, for what you're doing in here, what you're going to do, God, within these churches, Lord. And I just pray a special blessing upon them, Lord God, that you'll just give them vision of what to do. Help them with their leader selection, with their topics, God. And I just pray that revival, God, will mm-hmm. break out of this, Lord, in our marriages, God. Revive our marriages,
mm-hmm.
God. But may we not lose center focus of our first love, which is you. And we praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.